Greetings and welcome to another River Radio Sports Central podcast powered by our friends at NovaCare Rehabilitation. Alongside Matt Varney from 103.5 ESPN, I am Darren Kennard. And often, Matty, we have talked about weather and the way it affects scheduling and stuff. And we have some schedules that have been affected and schools that have been affected, but it's not been by weather. It's been by sickness.
That it has. And a lot of teams have also tried to push through it this week as well. And they've had varying results from it, without a doubt. But, yeah, that's something that gets forgotten about a lot of the times when we get into, as we were talking about last week, the dog days of the basketball season, about and the other winter sports as well, just about the fact that, yeah, you also have this that always seems to get forgotten about, and sometimes a game will get canceled or get postponed, and then you're scrambling in the final 3 weeks to get that game made up, especially if it's a conference game. So, yeah, it's definitely here and affecting teams, but luckily, it seems like a lot of teams are starting to come out of that, at least.
Yeah, I mean, we see, you know, somebody tweaks an ankle or somebody is injured or whatever, and that's you know, we've kind of become numb to it, I guess,
right,
for
yeah.
lack of a better term. It's just part of the game. And, you know, with this, I mean, last week with the that Harrisburg-Vienna final at the El Dorado Lady Eagle Winter Classic, I mean, Harrisburg had one of their top players, Hannah Rohr, out. She's in a walking boot, but she was at least on the bench.
Yeah.
You know, but Jenna Waters for Vienna is at home with the stomach flu. And then you've got more situations this week. And we had several schools. We're recording on Friday. Several schools that went ahead and took a three-day weekend this weekend and let some disinfecting go on in the school, this, that, and the other. But where that kind of came into play was Hardin County was one of those schools. And they're in the GEC semis tonight. I messaged Coach Lane. I said, "Are you guys playing?" And he said, "Yeah." He's like, "I had, you know, a lot of my guys out sick." He's like, "But they're kind of coming back, and you know, we'll let it go and let it rip, so to speak." And you know, it's just another obstacle that teams have to deal with.
Yeah, I know Ziegler Royalton also going through that a little bit as well. And so they've had their games affected this weekend some. And then also Harrisburg went through it as well. They had two starters out due to sickness on Tuesday when they saw Hamilton County. And then when they had their makeup game with Murfreesboro on Wednesday, they ended up moving the game from a 7:30 varsity start to 6:30 because Harrisburg said, "We don't have enough JV games to be able to, or guys to play the game." Right. And so it ended up being just a varsity-only contest. But yeah, it's affecting everybody in its own ways. But like I said, it looks like a lot of teams are starting to come out of it, at least enough where they can throw together a team to go play games. Of course, if it's a semifinal game in a tournament, you hate to see a team affected that way, but that's also how it comes down to sometimes.
And, you know, and we're not immune to it.
No.
I mean, you've gone through it. I've gone through it. In fact, for me, as you can probably hear, it's been a bad week. I mean, as we said before we went on air, it could have been worse. It could have been last week with all the tournaments.
Right.
But, you know, went through and shot all these games and stuff. And then just Sunday just felt like a Mack truck had hit me and, you know, really didn't feel great much of the week. And so the pile of editing sat there. And so I'm just now getting finished through that. So even though, you know, it's games and stuff that happened last week, you know, it's going to get posted. And so, just a little peek behind the curtain is, look, nobody's immune to it.
No. Well, I remember last year for sure, and I want to say 2 years ago as well, for Murfreesboro going up to Sparta, I distinctly remember last year, and I'm almost positive it was 2 years ago as well, that I had some sort of bug. Last year especially, that first game of that tournament, I remember I sounded awful. I could go find the clips, and man, it did not sound good. But, you know, someone's got to go and do the job, unfortunately. And when you're not feeling good and you're the man for the job, you just buckle up and do it, just like these kids do.
Right.
You know, they say, "Coach, I'm feeling good enough," and they go ahead and put together the best performance that they can forward, just like we do.
Let's talk about last week. You know, what we talked about, more than 20 tournaments, just a ton of games, certainly a lot of interesting results. Most of the entire tournament fields were not terribly impressive as far as depth of competition. There were a couple that stood out. You know, the Highland Girls, the Nashville Boys tournament stood out. But each tournament seemed to have really good championship nights and good matchups for the trophies. What stood out to you about last week?
Well, obviously, I think the big thing was Meridian and what they did at the BIT, leading Heron by a boatload, Heron coming back, forcing overtime, but still Meridian having the extra gas to go ahead and win in overtime. And then they go the next night after having played five quarters the night before, and they beat Benton on Benton's home floor. That was probably the most impressive thing that we saw out of last week. There was a lot of impressive things. That was probably the most impressive that I saw. Just being at Sparta also, I was really impressed that the fact that Trico ended up in the third place game and ended up winning it. They've only got four wins on the season as of today, but a lot of those wins came last week, so it was a great week for the Pioneers as well. Want to give them a shout-out. And then it was a great game. Also, you and I both saw Pinckneyville, Murfreesboro at Sparta, not to, you know, be focused on them particularly, but just that was a fantastic game. Clearly, Pinckneyville had the benefit of sitting a lot of their guys the night before and a few games that week, whereas Murphy was fighting tooth and nail all week. But it was a fantastic game. Pinckneyville ended up coming out on the better end of it. But I think a lot of people in that gym that night were saying, when's chapter two for that matchup? And we'll see if that happens. But it was a great game.
Well, and that's the thing with Murfreesboro. You know, for me personally, and I don't see them obviously as much as you do, but I'm like, I think this is a pretty good team.
Yeah.
And then after seeing that and them going tooth and nail with Pinckneyville, yeah, that is a pretty good team.
Yeah.
And so it makes me think that when you look at that side of the subsectional, obviously Benton's been very good.
Right.
But I think Murfreesboro is the solid number two seed there.
I was thinking about that yesterday, and I was like, I think that at this point they have to be the solid number. A lot of bad things would have to happen in the next 2 weeks for them not to be at this point. But, yeah, you know, I just sat there and I was like, man, this is it's kind of same with you, but the opposite of where you're in it so much that you're like, I'm pretty sure this is a really good team, but
right.
I see it so much, and obviously, you know, I'm the one following them around that try my best to be as unbiased as possible. But obviously you're gonna have a little bit of that when you're calling it for one specific team. So you're sitting there and be like, this is a good team, but I'm not sure how good. We've seen a lot of good teams. Their three losses have come against probably their three best competition. But they've been in all those games as well. So, but yeah, absolutely. They definitely, I think, proved to everybody that they deserve to be in that conversation. But Daryl Murphy, talking with him earlier this week, he said himself, I think we proved to ourselves that we're about a step behind, and they have just about the right amount of time to make sure they catch up. Right. But you got to remember that also that means that Pinckneyville, Benton, all them are a step ahead. And so now you're basically trying to catch up two steps on them.
Well, and then this week, the game against Harrisburg that you mentioned, that's a huge seeding implication game because that's, and again, they're probably going to the same place because they're going to be 2-3. It's just a matter of who you are. But sometimes it could be squirrely depending on how things end up because, as we mentioned, the process is not always an exact science. But likely those are the 2-3 in that subsectional. And you know, it doesn't really matter who's two or three, but I think there's at least a mental aspect of it.
Right, absolutely. And I look at that, and Vienna's the only other one that I think that has, like, a clear-cut argument for three. And like we said, it's a little squirrely on things. With Anna Jonesboro being the other regional, I could potentially see Benton and Harrisburg at Hamilton County, putting Harrisburg at the four, and Vienna and Murphy being the 2-3 at Anna Jonesboro. I could see that happening. But it will come down to, in the end, the votes more than anything.
The other thing that stood out to me, and you mentioned Meridian at the BIT, I think overall, you know, the 1A powers that be, we knew the big three.
Yeah.
Waltonville, Goreville, and Meridian. We knew they were very good. And this just took that to the next level.
Absolutely.
Because Massac County, the Superman Classic, Goreville goes down there. Now, the field maybe not as strong as it's been in previous years, but Goreville goes down and takes care of the business and beats a bunch of 2A schools to take care of it. You get a team out of Kentucky, you just don't know sometimes that they were the 2 seed, so it's not like that, you know, it was a surprise that St. Mary was in the final. So, you know, Goreville goes in and takes care of its business. Waltonville wins the Midland Trail at Weber.
Yeah.
Great environment for a matinee. I mean, a little weird going into the gym and there's, you know, there's sun in the, you know, it was like, hey, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
But tremendous atmosphere. Place was loaded. Nathaniel Marlowe is, you know, maybe the best player, individual talent in the region. And you know, again, it's that thing. Everybody knows he's going to shoot, and he and they defend him accordingly, and he still gets 33.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and then Gorville plays them last night and holds him to 21.
Yeah,
so
that was impressive.
An impressive effort from them. And again, that's another game with, you know, postseason type implications. But again, I thought those three teams really solidified their mark that, you know, we are it. You know, we're the one of us is going to be going to state.
Absolutely. And that was reflected this week in the SI basketball poll that's done here at River Radio, and the fact that all three ended up. Meridian had been not ranked. They were right there on the outside looking in for several weeks, and they finally break back into it, all three of them there in the bottom half of the top 10, but they're still all right there and making their cases. And man, they're all looking good right now. And I'm sure we'll talk about it here, but that does bring us to tonight and tomorrow for Waltonville, right, with huge tests that will definitely put their undefeated record to the chopping block, perhaps, but nonetheless, they get probably the best opportunity they possibly could this weekend.
Yeah, and of course, they are still in a, you know, the Midland Trail still does a conference tournament, yeah. So the midwinter aspect, not really a factor for them, but then this week is, and it's, you know, it's an all-South 7 weekend. They're at Marion tonight, and then they play at the Pinckneyville Shootout tomorrow. They're playing Centralia. So on short rest, even, it's a 1:30 game in the afternoon. You're going to face the two top teams in the South 7, or two of the top three.
Yeah.
And you know, you're a 1A team. You're a really good 1A team. And again, I don't care what happens this weekend. I think it's a win for the Spartans.
Yeah.
Now, if they come out of it 1-1 or 2-0, then look out.
Exactly.
I think that really would be a big deal. But then also you look at Meridian, I think, still has at Centralia later.
Yes.
And then I believe they've added Columbia in a game that's going to be played at Pinckneyville, kind of a we're going to meet in the midway. That's like the last weekend of the regular season.
Yeah.
So, again, these schools are not – it doesn't matter how big a school they're willing to play.
Well, specifically Meridian this year – if you've been following them, you know, you might be just looking at the wins and losses for them, might be saying, man, it's been a little bit of a down year for when everybody was supposed to be back from last year's team and everything. Well, first of all, obviously everybody knows about them now, so that's right. The first thing. But the second thing is they have been playing up almost all season long. They've taken every opportunity. They've jumped into shootouts, into tournaments, and they've played well and run into just Goliath for them, and they've gotten so much experience that they may not get, you know, the number one seed in wherever they end up going for their subsectional, for their regional, but they're going to be a challenge for whoever ends up having to face them in the regional final, probably, because they've just been seeing so much top competition. And that's what Waltonville is doing here this weekend,
right,
in that let's make sure that we get – now, I don't know if they knew for sure that they were going to see Centralia when they signed up for the shootout, but at the same time, you know, they're looking at it being like fantastic. They scheduled Marion to be sure, and now they get Centralia, and now they're like, well, this is a fantastic weekend for us. Obviously, you know, they go in as underdogs for probably the first time this season. Right. But at the same time, you look at just how far we are from postseason. Perfect time, you know, if you're going to take some losses, this is the time to learn some losses as an undefeated team. And if you come out 2-0 after this, well, no one's going to doubt you, first of all. You've got the biggest target in maybe the state on your back, and everybody has confidence in you that you're going to do great things in the postseason.
And the only downside, and again, you would take this downside, is that no big school will play in the future if you come away. But that's the nature of mid-majors in college basketball and that type of thing. So that's not anything that's, you know, again, those would be good problems to have. You know, I think the biggest thing, and again, it's something that Meridian is accustomed to because they have been like this for, you know.
Yes.
You go back to the, you know, when Coach Griffin was there, you know, Eric Griffin was, you know, they played all comers. You know, some of that is a function of their conference is not great.
Right. The SEC,
you know,
is
top
down.
Top to bottom. You know, there's usually, you know, Meridian and maybe one or two other good teams, and you know, the rest are not going to prepare you for what you're going to, you know, to make a long run. So you're going to have to play those teams. So they've always played in the tournaments with the 2A, 3A teams, and they will play all comers. And so that is that's nothing new for them.
Well, and when you're a 1A team, obviously you're going to take lumps like that. Some years you're going to be great. Other years you're not going to be as great. But it's a philosophy that a lot of teams do try to adapt. Of course, as you go further up the rung, it gets harder and harder. And then when you get to 4A, which we don't have around here, but if you get to 4A, then you're like, well, there's really no one that we can play up to. But nonetheless, you know, you try to schedule up. 1A teams have that opportunity, but then they're also the ones that are obviously going to take more lumps. They're going to have more down years. But then when they have their good years, man, it is one of those, like, magical run type of seasons. And that's been, you know, part of the good thing. I was talking with someone yesterday about, you know, that's been part of the good thing about having the four-class system as opposed to the small and the big school system that we had up until 2008.
You know, just a couple other of the, again, there were so many stories, so many storylines from last week, but a couple that I just want to touch on. Centralia and Mount Vernon playing for Salem title. You know, obviously that's the monster rivalry. And then now you're playing for a tournament title. And oh, by the way, if Centralia wins, it's a milestone victory. It's 2,400. The Orphans did take care of their business. They won 44-32 to take home the title, to get win number 2,400, to do it against a rival, you know, and the freshman, Archie Guai, MVP of the Salem Invitational Tournament, too. I believe they said the first freshman to win MVP there as well. So he's done that at the Centralia Holiday Tournament. He's done it at the Salem Invitational. Again, just that's incredible that a freshman is able to step up in that circumstance and to do that. But what a remarkable – I mean, the Orphans and their faithful could not have scripted it out any better.
No, I mean, that's exactly what they would have wanted. Now, it was too topless that Mount Vernon was seeing in the semis, right? Now, that would have been a great matchup as well.
Right.
But when you come down to who's the bigger rival, obviously it's Mount Vernon. And so that was just – yeah, that's how you script it up, and Mount Vernon kept it pretty close throughout the game, and so it was exactly what you wanted, and Centralia gets to be the big winner on all of it. For every bit, every angle that you take from it, they get to be the big winner, and they continue to lead the nation in wins in a program.
And in looking at the seedings in 3A, that's going to be fascinating with Centralia, Marion, and Mount Vernon all in there, 1, 2, 3. You know, I think that's going to be quite a dogfight there.
Yeah, without a doubt. Heron, obviously, and Waterloo will be in there as well, which will make it difficult. But those three, without a doubt, just are at a different level. And the fact that they're all fighting for a South 7 title is just insane. You usually see one will always, at this point of the season, kind of risen above the others. But the fact that they're in this dogfight and they're all this good, it's one thing when you're maybe like a step or two below where they're at and they're all this good. It's another when they're all at elite levels right now. This is like Chicagoland level competition that we are seeing here in the South 7, and it's been really fun.
And, you know, I believe Mount Vernon and Centralia now have split.
Yes.
Centralia has beaten Marion.
Yes.
Marion has not played Mount Vernon because that was the first one was supposed to be during the ice week. I don't think they're going to play before the seedings come out. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that shakes out because, again, taking away from, you know whether it's Heron or whether it's Olney's, the four or the five, whatever, whoever gets the top seed is going to avoid the other two.
That's right.
Because 2 and 3 are going to end up in the same regional, and so that could be any combination of. Right now, I would guess it probably would lean towards Centralia 1,
probably.
Marion and Mount Vernon 2 and 3. But again, however that ends up shaking out, whoever's one avoids the other two.
Right, exactly. And I think you're right just for the simple fact that, well, Centralia has beaten Mount Vernon more this season at this point. You know, even though it wasn't a conference game, last Saturday matters without a doubt. And so, yeah, it kind of looks like that's probably going to be the case at this point. But whoever's the four seed, yeah, you miss those two, but then you get the one seed. Like it's a catch 22.
Right. No doubt. The other one I want to touch on is that Highland Girls Tournament.
Yes.
Nashville loses on a buzzer beater to 4A O'Fallon by a point. You know, and this just kind of shows O'Fallon's not quite what they have been, but what they have been is the 4A state champions a couple years in succession. And so you see that Nashville is that force to be reckoned with.
Yes.
Again, not that we had questions, but I think that with that particular week, they whacked Mater Dei by 25 in the semis.
Right.
And then they lose to O'Fallon on a buzzer beater. And so this is a team that's going to be a factor. And again, how that subsectional plays out. Interesting seed-wise, you know, it's likely since Central has a head-to-head win against Nashville, Brees Central's probably going to be the one. That means Nashville and Carlisle are probably going to be the 2 and 3. Modern Day has struggled a bit and will be the 4. And so you're going to have rivals, likely Central and Modern Day together.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have Nashville. And I believe Carlisle's a host. So Nashville's going to have to go on the road in the regional. So it's a fascinating picture because it's tough, number one.
Yeah.
And then number two, just kind of the subplots that make it even more enticing.
Yeah, but every time that you just see a Nashville score flare up at this point, also like last night they beat Benton by about 50. Yeah, yeah, like it's like they clearly are rolling on all cylinders and they're ready for the postseason to begin. And so I mean, I think they're prepared for whatever comes their way. But yeah, I mean, if they have to go on the road, technically on the road, obviously if you meet Carlisle, then yeah, you're on the road, but it's still one of those things where it's like it's like what I tell people with the Super Bowl. You know, I say I don't bet against Patrick Mahomes. I used to say I don't bet against Tom Brady. Now it's I don't bet against Patrick. I don't bet against the Nashville Hornets. That's how it goes.
Well, and when you look at their road last year to the state finals,
yeah,
they had to beat Modern Day in the regional final at Modern Day.
Yep.
That game had been iced out on Friday
That's
night.
Right.
So I was able to cover it. That was the same day as the wrestling state in Champaign. And so I'm like, oh, I can go to Breeze and just hit right up and get there. No problem. Well, then that game goes 4 overtimes.
Of course.
And so where I thought I was going to have an easy cruise to Champaign, now all of a sudden I'm having to drive like my hair's on fire to get there on time. But it was, again, it was a 4 overtime thriller, but it was at Modern Day. So it's nothing that Nashville has not seen, even though, you know, this is a predominantly still young squad.
Yeah.
They've seen some things.
Absolutely. And then one other one that I actually wanted to touch on real quickly was Marion winning theirs.
Yes.
And I had been told the Friday before when they were going to see Breeze Central in the semifinals, I had been told that their seniors had never won a tournament in high school, which, I mean, when you think about it, like that is kind of tough to go 4 years and not to have won a tournament is very tough. So it was like, this is your last chance, Marion. And they went out and they beat a very good Breeze Central team, which, you know, when you look at Marion, yeah, they probably should, but still it's Breeze Central.
Right. Still
so,
a very good 2A.
And then you see Waterloo, who you could see in a regional or a sectional. And so just the fact that they did all that, and then they finally get that first tournament was great for Marion.
And early they were down in that game.
Yeah.
You know, they were down 7, 8, 9 points to Waterloo. And then they just kind of imposed their will. And defensively, if you've not seen Marion play, especially their guards, I mean, it's like Coach Gillespie's Dobermans and you know, he just, you know, says sick 'em, and you know, and they're all over the place and they get after you. They're physical. Now, some of it will be, you know, they almost kind of play, you know, for the older crowd, the old Nolan Richardson Arkansas Razorback, you know, 40 minutes of hell. You can't call everything.
No, you can't.
You know, and so in a game that's called super tight, they may struggle because they are very physical.
Right.
And their guards flat get after people.
Yeah, without a doubt. And then their forwards are just magic to watch
sometimes.
They're very skilled. Very skilled, very smooth for the most part. Just it's a fun team to watch that, you know, going to Centralia, they had the lead at Centralia back at the beginning of January, and then Centralia just kind of pulled a rabbit out of their hat and was able to escape their own home floor with a victory. But nonetheless, I mean, when we talk about those three South 7 teams, I could see any of them being the last one standing. They're all so good.
And the other part of that equation is that when you look at the other side of the subsection, which actually Waterloo's on the other side.
Yeah, okay.
But Waterloo is likely one of the top one or two because this is a down year for Eastside.
Sure, yeah.
And there's no monster that's sitting over there. You know, so the path to at least a super sectional is there for one of those three,
absolutely,
you know, one of those three 3A teams that we cover.
Without a doubt. It's just, you know, don't go ahead and slip up against teams that you probably should beat. Now, of course, some of our other area teams that are listening to this right now are saying, well, don't forget about us, and of course not, but you can't deny the fact that those three are just considered three of the top teams in the entire area. And, you know, in past years, you know, you would usually get people saying when you talk about, you know, potential matchups that, you know, like, well, no one could beat Mary. No one could do this. But, like, right now, it's actually legitimate that you have those three, and then it's probably Pinckneyville, and then Benton's in that conversation. But from recent losses, I think some people have cooled off on them a little bit. So it's, I think, those four teams and then everybody else.
Right. And then you've got the – what do you do with the three 1A teams? Where do they fit in the equation? So, again, it's going to be fascinating. Next week, the girls' seeds and pairings will come out. The boys are going to be a week after that. So that's that. We're already to the boys' bowling state tournament. It is today in Fairview Heights at St. Clair Bowl. Again, at the time that we are taping, they are through the first session. Harrisburg is third in the standings through the first session. They bowl three games, have lunch, and then bowl three more games. And then Salem, the other area team, and the two-time defending champs, they're 11th. Top 12 make it to tomorrow. And then the top 30, not on those 12 teams, will advance individually.
Right.
We have a couple of local bowlers, Carterville's David Lutschka, as well as Evan Flath, both made it. And Lutschka is in the top five. I believe he's actually third individually through the first session. Evan Flath is in the top 40, and so he has a great chance to advance. And so, again, that's the day two will be Saturday at St. Clair Bowl, and then it's just the top 12 teams and those top 30 individuals. Last year, Salem kind of rallied late to get Harrisburg, so we had 1-2 in the finish there. Harrisburg is in the fight so far, standing third through this. And so, again, you see kind of the opportunity that this region has, you know, really put forth some quality. And you had a great chance to bring home more hardware this year.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I hope that's the case. You know, the past couple of years, it's been fun being able to say that, we've had the best bowling teams in this, not just the best, but the best of all of them. We've had maybe two, three of them for the past couple of years. And so hopefully that trend continues. And, Southern Illinois needs to lay claim to anything and everything that we can, because we know Chicagoland and St. Louis, they get to claim all the big ones. And so we're going to take everything else that we can.
Get all those trophies you can. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the River Radio Sports Central podcast, powered by our friends at NovaCare Rehabilitation. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. For Matty V, I'm Darren Kennard. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll talk to you soon.